Let's open our Bibles together, please. We're turning to the Psalm 103, the 103rd Psalm. Let us open the Scriptures together, please, and follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy Word. Psalm 103, verse number 1, down to verse number 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word this evening. We pray that Thou will write Thy word upon our hearts. Help us to hear Thy voice. O God, may we be still and know that Thou art God. And may we be silent in Thy presence and hear Thy voice speaking to our hearts. Take of Thy word and write it upon our souls this evening. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I wonder, have you ever talked to yourself? Have you ever started to have a conversation with yourself? Some person once asked an old man, said, why do you so often talk to yourself? And the old man simply replied, well, it's this way. He says, I like to talk to an intelligent person, and I like to hear an intelligent person talk to me. And so therefore, that was the reason why he talked to himself, because he desired to have an intelligent person speak to him and to answer back. And you know, what we find in this psalm here, and in many of the psalmist talked to himself. He talked within his soul. If you turn, just keep your hand there, turn back to Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, it tells us there that he says in verse number 11, he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And so we find that the psalmist is speaking to himself. He's going through a rough time. Our sister talked about that. Life's experiences, whenever things were hard. Psalm 43, the psalmist is talking to himself again. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? He talked to himself, and then he talked to the Lord. And he took his burden unto the Lord. And so we find, having gone through a rough passage in life, and he's speaking to himself. You know, many people, when they're going through hard times, they complain. They start to complain about their situation. They start to murmur at others because they're sort of kicking out at others and hitting out of others because of the experience that they themselves are going through. David was cast down. He knew what it was to be oppressed by the devil. He knew what it was to be depressed in his mind. A lot of enemies were all around him. But thank God he was able to go on to Psalm 46, and he says, God is our refuge and our strength. And he's that very present help in a time of trouble. Now, I believe that in this Psalm 103 that we come to this evening, the psalmist has written this psalm whenever he's in the latter years of his life. The old body begins to crumble. The old tent, which is so frail, it seems to be falling down. And, you know, he starts to think about other things. He starts to meditate in his soul. He gets a clear understanding of his own frailty. And you know, as we grow older, that's exactly what happens to us. We start to understand that we have more years past than we have to come, as far as this old world's concerned. We wonder where exactly they've gone, but nevertheless they have so quickly passed away. And friend, to be honest, we get grateful for every new day. You come to a certain age, our brother Willie Montgomery, next Sunday evening, our brother reaches that young age of 90. And you know, he's telling us again tonight, he said, I'll be 20 years beyond the allotted span. And you wonder where those years have got to. And friend, that's true. Because as the years pass on, you see, whenever you have youth on your side, the world's your oyster, you feel that there's nothing going to stop you, there's nothing ever going to put the brakes on you. Life's just going to go on. But friend, it's not in reality, life's not really like that. The psalmist is coming to a time when he's meditating, looking back over his life. And you know, he's very thankful, he's very grateful to what God has given to him. And so the psalmist is addressing his soul. And we find that as he addresses a soul, he gives a golden chain of blessing. And you know, when we come to the psalm, we see a tremendous tenderness there. We see a child-like trustfulness there. We see a buoyant hopefulness there. There's not a cloud in the horizon. There's not a discordant sound. There's not a word of complaint. There's not a note of sadness. But what we find in this psalm is, it's an outburst of praise and an outburst of thankfulness unto God. And so in verses number 1 to 5, and probably that's where we just look at this evening, he's talking to his soul and he's recalling to his soul a grateful thanks for all the gifts that God has given to us. Some of the commentators says that Psalm 103 is the psalmist's hallelujah chorus. And so it is a chorus of worship to God. Now notice first of all in the psalm here, notice the psalmist's praise, his praise. It says there in verse number 1, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Now you and I can't add anything to God, but we can praise him. And we ought to have a spirit of praise and praise. Notice he says, "Bless the Lord." Now he goes on to talk about the benefits that God has given to him, but he's blessing the Lord, not only for his gifts and the benefits that God has, but he's blessing the Lord for who he is, blessing the Lord. You turn to Psalm 104, in verse number 1, it says once again, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever." And so he's thanking God for not only who he is, but he's thanking God for not for what he gives, but for who he is. And the psalmist therefore goes on to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Notice we're to thank the Lord with all our being. All that is within me, it says, bless his holy name. He's speaking the spirit of his praise here. He's displaying that spirit of praise. Notice it's not simply blessing the Lord. It's not lip service. You notice it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me," with his whole mind, with all the faculties that he has, with all his spirit. He is simply praising the Lord every part of his being. I wonder, is that what you're like? Is that how you live your life? Can you honestly say, "I just praise the Lord for who he is and for all the blessings that he has given unto me"? You know, sadly to say today, there are not many of God's people that really are a praising people. I remember the story being told Mr. Wiley many years ago, the late Reverend John Wiley. He said that there was a man standing, one of the old leaders of this church was standing outside the door. It was in a street in a city. And you know, whenever you looked at his face, he was that depressing looking. And my, he spoke with a real depressing voice as well. And so there's this man was walking past, and the old elder, he went to the door and he looked at the boy walking past and he said, "Would you like to come into this meeting?"
And the old boy stopped a wee minute, and he just said to himself, he looked at the man, and he saw the kind of face he had on him. He heard his old, dull, grumpy voice, and he says, "No, sir, I would not indeed, for I have enough problems out here. I don't need to go in there." Friend, let me tell you, we need a praising spirit. May God give to his people, my friend, that rejoicing spirit and that rejoicing heart. In Psalm 34, you'll find that the psalmist once again is saying this. He says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." And then he says, "My praise shall continually be in my mouth. I shall bless the Lord at all times." Friend, that's at all times of affliction, as well as prosperity, all times of adversity, the times that are hard, the times of mourning, the times of difficulty, the times of trials. I will bless the Lord at all times. And we ought to praise God. We ought to have a rejoicing spirit and rejoice in the God of our salvation. In Psalm 147, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." You notice there's three reasons why that we ought to praise God. It said we ought to praise God because God's good. God's good. And so he is. The goodness of God, friend, you and I have experienced it, and the goodness of God every morning. And it is good to praise the Lord. And then, of course, it says not only is it good, and it's good for your health, and it's good for others, but it is also pleasant. In other words, it's pleasing. It is agreeable to praise the Lord. And my, it's pleasant to praise the Lord. And then it says it's comely. In other words, it's appropriate. It's appropriate for God's people to praise the Lord. Hymn writer says the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. Their way is growing bright. Their souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is that what the world sees when they look at you and me? A person that is saved and is happy in Christ and knows that our sins are forgiven and we're on our way to heaven. And so here we see the psalmist praise. But then notice it says in verse number 2 of the psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There's the psalmist pondering, his pondering. It says, "Forget not all his benefits." In other words, says God says to you, don't forget this. You know, friend, to be honest, you and I are very quick to forget the good times, and boys, we're very quick to remember the bad times. And is that not just in some of our makeup? It just seems to be that we're quick to forget all the blessings of the Lord, and we're quick to complain. You know, one of the sins that God had got against the children of Israel was a sin of forgetfulness. They had forgotten the Lord. Turn back to the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, it tells us there in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." And so therefore, one of the sins that God was charging the children of Israel with was the sin of forgetfulness. Turn to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy and the verse number 11. It says this, "Houses full of good things which thou fillest not, wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord." Friend, don't forget. God's word says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." All of his benefits. My God wants you to remember all the benefits that he has. You say to me, how many benefits does God give to us? Psalm 68 and verse 19 says this. Psalm 68 verse 19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." We sing the hymn, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Maybe you think tonight that you haven't many benefits. The word of God says here, Psalm 68 verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." God has loaded you with benefits today. Have you really appreciated it? Have you thanked God for the benefits that God has given unto you? "What shall I render," the psalmist asks, "unto the Lord for all his benefits?" James says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither is there a shadow of turning. And friend, it's good for you and me to ponder these things. We need to sit down and just count your blessings. My, when you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Thank God he gives you blessings that money cannot buy, your reward in heaven and your home on high. He loadeth you daily. My, that's, thank God for the treasures that are still to come, but God has loaded us with benefits today, this very day. You know, there are people who would love to be sitting in God's house tonight, and they can't make it. You're able to make it. Maybe you just had to shuffle in. Maybe you haven't got the abilities that once you had. But friend, you were able to come. You're able to make it. There are people who would love to be here, but they can't make it. They just can't make it. But my friends, God has loaded you with benefits. Now let's go very quickly because time's going here. Think of some of the benefits of the Lord. And notice then, thirdly, verse number 3, the pardon. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. There is number one blessing. It is the key to all the other benefits that you and I could ever have. It's the benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, our sister talked about that tonight. Because the old devil sometimes come after us and tries to get us into that guilt complex and remember our past, and the devil bring up every sin. And friend, let me tell you this, he doesn't have to make them up. The devil doesn't have to make our sins up because our sins are real. I tell you, our sins, he doesn't need to create them or to manufacture them because our sins are real. You and I have sinned against the Lord. But thank God we can say, God forgiveth all our iniquities. You see, forgiveness is a divine benefit. Thank God the forgiveness of God is a complete forgiveness. Notice a wee word, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. In other words, there's not a spot or there's not a blot on our records because the Lord has forgiven us all of our sin. And who can forgive sin but God? And he has forgiven all our iniquities, all our crookedness. And you know, we were crooked in our sin. And we all went our own way. We all went astray. But thank God, God has forgiven us all our iniquities, all our crookednesses. I think it's remarkable that there's not a mark against us because our sins are gone. Notice the way the psalmist says, who forgiveth. Who forgiveth. You know that not only means that it's complete, he forgiveth all, but he forgiveth. It's continual. It's continual. He forgiveth. He keeps on forgiving. He keeps on forgiving. May that little verse in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth. There's another F. It cleanseth, and that means keeps on cleansing. Keeps on cleansing from all of our sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all of our sin. There's an interesting chapter. It's the chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And you read carefully the chapter 11 of Hebrews, and you'll find in that chapter the names of many of God's people down the years and on olden times, whether it was Moses, whether it was Noah, whether it was Abel, whether it was all of the great men and women of faith. But I noticed something when I was studying for this message tonight, that when you come to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we have the record of what we call the Hall of Faith. And what faith has done in the lives of ordinary people just like you and me. But do you notice something about that chapter? These were just ordinary people like you and me, sinners, saved by grace and by faith and looking to Christ. But do you notice in that chapter there is not a single word about their failures? Not a single word about their failures. In that chapter. Now let me tell you this, my friend, they were just people like you and me. Sarah was not a perfect woman because, remember, she made mistakes. Abram wasn't a perfect man. He made wrong decisions. And yet when you come to the chapter of faith, you will find that there is not one word about their failures. It talks about their faith. Now, why does it not mention? Why does it not mention their failures in that chapter of faith? I'll tell you why. Because the previous chapter, chapter 10 of Hebrews, chapter 11 is the chapter of faith. In chapter 10, in verse number 17, it says, "And their iniquities will I remember no more." God has blotted them out. Thank God the record is clean, and God has removed our transgressions from us, and our sins do not stand against us anymore, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Your sins, friend, your sins and your iniquity, says God, will I remember no more. And when you come to the chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Sarah, by faith, by faith, by faith, and how they conquered in the name of the Lord. But thank God, God had blotted out their sins. Can I ask you a question tonight? Do you know the joy of sins forgiven? Do you know what it is to have your sins blotted out, never to be remembered against you anymore? You know what God says in the book of Isaiah? He says he puts our sins in the depths of the sea. It tells us in Isaiah that he puts our sins behind his back. And thank God, God forgives us our sins, and he blots out our sins. And thank God, he forgives our sins, and he forgets our sins. And the number one benefit that is spoken of, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Number one blessing is to be forgiven. To be forgiven. My friend, I tell you, if man had been written that, it wouldn't be number one. But praise God, the Holy Spirit of God has written this on the psalmist's heart, and he's meditating and he's musing in his own soul, and he's rejoicing in the Lord. And he said, here is the greatest blessing of them all, the key to all the other blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and who forgiveth all thine iniquities. There's the pardon. But then notice quickly the physician. Because it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Now, oh, I hear some person say, but preacher, that can't be right. That cannot be right. Because I know a lot of people, and their bodies are broken, and I know a lot of people that are dying with cancer, and God didn't heal them. I prayed that God would heal my son. I pray that God would heal my brother. I pray that God would heal my wife. I pray that God would do this. And yet it says here, who healeth all thy diseases. Surely God has made a mistake here. Surely this is not right. But my friend, let me tell you this. This is not talking about bodily healing. Notice what the opening words are. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking about soul healing. The healing of the soul. He's talking about the gracious moving of God. And thank God, he's talking about God healing the spiritual diseases. Who healeth all thy diseases, the leprosy of sin, the corruption of our mind, the whole head that is sick, and the whole heart that is sore and faint. And thank God he healeth all our diseases. Now, why is sin called a disease in the Bible? I haven't time to go into this tonight, but I could say four things. First of all, it destroys. You know exactly the disease destroys the body. It's amazing. How that people are full of health and strength, and my, they just look so healthy, and then disease grips a hold of their body, and in no time whatsoever, that person that looks so well, they're just looking sick. And my, what is that disease doing, friend? That disease is destroying their body. I've seen young people, and I'll tell you this, disease has destroyed their youth, and destroyed their beauty, and destroyed their health, because it destroys. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. When God made man, he made man in the likeness of God, created he him. But I tell you, my friend, look at man today, and my sin certainly has destroyed that likeness. That's what sin does, friend. And sin will destroy you. Sin will destroy you. You might get a delight out of sin. You might have a pleasure in your sin. But I want to tell you, your sin, if you don't turn to Christ and get it dealt with and get it onto the blood and get God's forgiveness, your sin will destroy you. Sin will not only destroy, sin disables. It disables. You know, the Word of God tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. You're not able, friend, to do anything. You're not able to do anything. They that walk after the flesh, you cannot please God. You cannot serve God. You cannot glorify God. You've got to walk in the Spirit because sin disables you. Just as disease disables your body, so sin disables your soul. Sin causes distress. Our sister talked about what sin did in her home and dividing the family asunder. And let me tell you, people suffer because of it. The family suffers. We hurt those around us, our friends, our loved ones, our children. They are hurt by our sin. You know, we're not living to ourselves. You say, well, I can live just however I like, and nobody can tell me because I'm my own champion. I'm my own captain. I'm my own boss. I'm my own life. Let me tell you, my friend, you're not living on an island. You're living, and there are others that you are related to. You're hurting others with your sin. And then, of course, sin destroys, and sin brings death. Because the word of God, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But thank God it says here, who healeth all thy diseases. I don't care what your sin is tonight. I don't care how far down in sin you are. I don't care how destroyed or disabled or distressed you are and heading on towards eternity without Christ. If you but come to Jesus Christ, thank God he can heal all your disease, the disease of your soul tonight. And you need the touch of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, go to verse number four. And here's the protection. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Another rendering of that is this. He redeems our life from going to waste. And friend, that's what sin does. It makes you waste your life. You remember the prodigal son? He went out into the far country, and there he wasted his substance in riotous living. But not only did he waste his substance, friend, he was wasting his life. Here was a young lad with tremendous possibilities and tremendous opportunities. But my, the devil was wasting him. And my, the devil will seek to waste you. But thank God, here's one who redeemeth thy life from destruction. We're sitting in the death cell waiting execution. The death sentence is upon us because we've broken the law of God. But thank God, Christ came to redeem. He came to pardon. He came to set us free. He came to liberate us. He came to buy us back. He came to ransom us. He came to rescue us. He came to atone for us. He came to save us. He redeemeth us. Thank God, here is a wonderful Redeemer. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, not only does God, when he saves us, not only does he forgive us our past sins, but thank God he delivers us from the power of sin in the present. And thank God saves us from sin in the future. Our sister talked about how the Lord delivered her and gave her victory in her life. And she asked you if there's someone here tonight and you're not getting victory over sin. I want to tell you, he redeemeth your life from destruction. He's able to give you deliverance from the power of sin that binds you. Thank God he redeemeth your life from destruction. And then it says this, he crowneth thee. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. There's the provision. The word crowneth has got the idea behind it of abundance. Abundance. And what has he given in abundance? He has given you loving kindness and tender mercy. You know, some people, they act, and their act of kindness is out of benevolence. But it's not out of love. But you see, when God acts you in kindness, it's loving kindness. It's loving kindness. The loving Heavenly Father that we have, loved with everlasting love. His love is a great love. His kindness is loving kindness. And that's what God in abundance has given to you and me. And something else, friend, tender mercies. Tender mercies. He doesn't give us charity. This is not charity God gives us. Thank God, it's mercies. Given out of God's hand by virtue of his Son's work upon the cross of Calvary in the shedding of the Savior's precious blood. He crowneth thee. He gives you in abundance. Mine, mine, mine. Lord, I know that thou art mine. Then he does something else, verse number 5, and time's away tonight. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Here's the plenty. Here's the plenty. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. You see that word mouth there? That word can be rendered old age. Who satisfieth thy old age with good things. And thank God, the good things of the Lord, they're never going to end for God's people. You know, they tell me that Howard Hughes was probably the wealthiest man in the time that he lived, the wealthiest man in the world. And he died at 70 years of age. He died with fame and he died with fortune. And in the last 20 years of Howard Hughes' life, he was hardly seen in public. And he spent his final years mostly in pajamas, living on fudge and cake. And whenever he died, he just simply weighed 90 pounds. And yet he was a billionaire. 90 pounds weight when he died. And he was suffering. Here's a man at everything. And he was suffering from malnutrition. Isn't it amazing? Amazing. Does that sound like a happy old man, friend? But thank God it says this. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. With good things. God's children are happy people. One of the Puritans said, man's heart is a triangle, so that if the whole world were in it, it would still have three corners left unfilled. You put a circle inside a triangle, and there'll be three corners left unfilled. But the believer has the word of Christ to satisfy his conscience, the work of Christ to satisfy his conscience, the word of God to assure his mind, and the witness or the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill his heart. Thank God there's not one corner of the child of God's life unoccupied or unfilled. Tell me, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your Savior? Is your life full of joy, who satisfieth even thine old age with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? And then it goes on to say, the Lord is merciful, verse 8, and gracious. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Aren't we richly blessed tonight? We're saved in Christ. The story is told of Queen Elizabeth I, the Queen of England. And she had a special favorite among her courtiers. He was called the Earl of Essex. And one day, Elizabeth, who had set her affection upon the Earl of Essex, she gave him her ring, and she indicated her affection and promised that if ever he were accused of a crime, all he had to do was send the ring to her, and she would at once grant him an audience to plead his cause and his case before her throne. The Earl of Essex was accused of conspiracy and high treason. He was executed because she had given the ring to him, but the ring was never presented to her. And because the ring wasn't presented, in other words, the Earl of Essex hadn't sent the ring to her. And remember, she had promised, if you send the ring and you're in difficulties, you can come and I'll give you an audience and you can plead your cause. But he never sent the ring, and therefore she allowed him, her favorite, to be executed. Years passed, and one day the Countess of Nottingham, who was a relative of the Earl of Essex, lay dying. She sent a message to Queen Elizabeth to come to her. She had a confession which she must make before she died, lest she could not die in peace. The queen came, and the countess produced the ring, the queen's ring, that had once been given to the Earl of Essex. And the Countess of Nottingham, a relative of the Earl, said this. She admitted and she confessed that Essex had given her the ring with an urgent request that it be taken straight to Elizabeth. But the Countess betrayed his trust. She never sent the ring. And he's allowed to die. In that last moment of the Countess' life, she begged Elizabeth to forgive her. And at the sight of the ring, the queen was in anger. And it is said that she seized the dying countess in her bed. And she shook her until her teeth rattled. And then she exclaimed these words. God may forgive you, she cried. God may forgive you, madam. But I never shall. And she left the dying bed of the dying countess. Thank God for the tender mercies of God. Thank God he is willing to pardon. He is willing to forgive. How does, notice, it says, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And then he ends the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Friend, are you saved tonight? Do you know God's forgiveness? Do you know the healing of God in your soul? Do you know what it is to be redeemed from a life that's wasting in sin? Do you know what it is to be crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy? Do you know what it is to be satisfied in Christ and walking with him? If you know him not, then I beg you in God's name, come to him tonight. You know what Jesus said, and her sister quoted it. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's bow our heads in prayer.